Let's bow together. Father, as we turn our attention to your word now, we pray that you would speak to each of us. Transform us to be more like you. Amen. Well, we have come to that time of year when we set aside a day mandated by the government, no less, when we are supposed to collectively give thanks. It really doesn't matter what type of year you have had. It really doesn't matter if you're in the mood. It's Thanksgiving. Eat some turkey, even if you don't like turkey, and give thanks, even if you don't feel like it. We usually think of giving thanks when things are going well. We've received a compliment. I preach an unusual message that people like, and you say, good job, and I say, thank you. We finished a task, and someone says, good job, and we say, well, thank you, and we're glad to be done. But things at the first Thanksgivings in the New World were different. They were more like celebration of survival days. The first one was actually held on September 8, 1565. It was a day of Thanksgiving celebrated by a group of Spaniards in St. Augustine, Florida. And, just a historical side note, they even invited the Indians along. They were just happy to be alive. And then in 1598, in San Elizario, Texas, Spanish explorer Juan de Onate, or something like that. I don't speak Spanish, but it's Onate in English. And it's Juan de, not Juan. But anyway, this Spanish explorer held a Thanksgiving festival because they had successfully crossed over 350 miles of Mexican desert. They were just happy to be alive. On December 4th, 1619, 38 settlers landed on the James River on a ship called the Margaret. They landed about 20 miles from Jamestown, and their charter required that the day of landing be set aside as a day of thanksgiving, both on that first date, because they were happy to be alive, and every year after that. They were just happy they made it to the New World, and they survived for a year. That was in 1619. Within 3 years, they gave it up. The tradition died out because of what is called the Indian Massacre of 1622. Where most of the settlers were killed. And the rest of them fled to Jamestown. The event which we look back upon on Thanksgiving began in the fall of 1621. 40 of the pilgrims who set out from England had survived. Eventually some Indians helped them. And they had a week of Thanksgiving. Because they were just happy to be alive. There were over 100 of them that started out on their journey, and in 1621, 40 of them were left. Most of them were women. They were just happy to be alive. Sometimes, when it comes to Thanksgiving, you do so because you're just happy to be alive. That's what the words of Habakkuk speak to us today. I ask you to turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 17. Habakkuk is at the end of the Old Testament, going backwards. It's Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, Habakkuk. Some background as you're finding that. Habakkuk was the last of the minor prophets to preach in the land of Judah. He prophesied during the fall of the Assyrian Empire in 610 BC. and the Babylonian invasion of Judah in 588 BC. So this was a long time ago. Judah was the southern kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Josiah. It had experienced a time of peace, prosperity, reform, and restoration. During the 31 years that Josiah was king, there was prosperity, stability, spiritual renewal. And then Josiah died. His sons took over the throne, and everything changed in Judah. Judah was a nation in chaos. Instead of peace, there was violence. People turned against each other, and perversion and wickedness spread throughout Judah. Listen to the words of Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It is the question which Habakkuk is asking God. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed. There is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. It sounds like the United States today. Words written 2,500 years ago. But they could describe us. We call out, we cry for justice, for fairness, for blessing. And we remember the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Generations come, generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. There is nothing new under the sun. And we read the words Habakkuk and we say, there is nothing new under the sun. Words written weeks, days, months, years, centuries earlier. Seasons have come and gone and come again. And yet his words seem to accurately describe our world as it is today. In this conversation, in this prayer, Habakkuk is questioning God. The words he uses here seem a little angry, a little bitter maybe, a little frustrated. Habakkuk is in effect complaining to God because of all the violence and wickedness he sees in the land. Maybe at some time or another we have all asked God similar questions in our prayers. But then if you read through the prophecy of Habakkuk, you get to the final chapter and you note that there's a shift of emotion. The questions are gone. Habakkuk rejoices in God's goodness. He has moved from a place of anger and confusion to a place of faith and trust. Perplexity has been replaced with praise. Confusion has been replaced with confidence. Worry has been replaced with worship. Fear has been replaced with faith. How did he get there? Listen to what he says in Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19, which is our text for today. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. This is the word of the Lord. We get to the end of Habakkuk, and he says, yet I will rejoice. His strength is renewed. There is joy in his heart. His faith is increased. It's Thanksgiving Day. It is celebration of survival day. But how did he get there? He got there because he rejoiced in three truths. Three truths which will transform our Thanksgiving Day from the potential of looking back on the last year and saying, how on earth did we even survive, to rejoicing in God, to having our yet moment. Yet I will rejoice. First, we see that Habakkuk gives thanks because God is our salvation. Habakkuk recognized that his salvation comes from the Lord. The psalmist set forth these words in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you, your going out and your coming in, from this day forth and forevermore. The Lord is our salvation. Our salvation comes from the Lord. Whatever our situation, ultimately, salvation is always from God. I'm reminded of the story of a Christian lady who was always giving thanks to God and always giving credit to God for every good thing that happened in her life. But she was a little ambitious, and some of her neighbors took umbrance with that. One of them happened to not believe in God. Something would happen and she'd say, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! God has provided!" And it just drove her neighbor nuts. But she had fallen on hard times. And her neighbor heard her praying, "Lord, I don't have any food. I don't know how we're going to feed the family. Would you, Lord, please provide for us?" And the light bulb went on in this neighbor's head. And he thought, "I can get her." So he went to the store and he bought 3 bags of groceries. And he put a bunch of money into it. And he went over to his neighbor's house and put the 3 bags of groceries on the front step and played a little ding-dong ditch, rang the bell, and hid behind the bushes. And this lady was praying, "Lord, please provide," and the doorbell rings, and she goes to the door, and there are 3 bags of groceries sitting at the front of the step. And she says, "Hallelujah! The Lord has provided again! Hallelujah! The Lord has provided!" And the neighborhood is hearing this, and he jumps out from behind the bush and says, "No, he didn't. I bought those groceries." And she says, "Hallelujah, the Lord has provided." And he says, "No, he didn't. I did." And she says, "Hallelujah, the Lord has provided." And she begins carrying the groceries around the neighborhood, shouting, "Hallelujah, the Lord has provided." And right behind her is this guy who doesn't believe in God. He says, "No, he didn't. I paid for those groceries. God didn't provide. I paid for those groceries." And she says, "Hallelujah, the Lord provided." And she made the devil pay for it. Because no matter how God makes it, gets paid for, it is God who is our salvation. It is not the government. It is not some charitable organization. Ultimately, whenever we need salvation, it is God who provides it. And because of that, we rejoice. Because we don't depend upon the largesse of man. We don't depend upon the kindness of some stranger. We depend upon God, who is our salvation. We depend upon the one who actually can move the hearts of men. He can move the hearts of people who don't even believe in him. Habakkuk loved and trusted God enough to thank him in the midst of distress, with everything that can change in our lives, from one extreme to the other in our world, there really is nothing we can cling to other than God. In fact, I would encourage you today to take refuge in the fact that God is our salvation and he does not change. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. The Lord is our salvation. We thank him. We give thanks, no matter how rough of a year we've had. We give thanks knowing that whatever our present situation, God is in control and his love will never cease. The verses we read, verse 17, that is a picture of absolute despair and hopelessness. Though the fig tree shouldn't blossom, there's no fruit on the trees, the produce of the olive fails, the fields yield no... This is a guy who's going to starve to death. There's no herd in the stall. Yet, he chooses to rejoice. The unchanging nature of God then becomes not only our salvation, but also our strength. We give thanks because God is our strength. It is amazing the amount of strength we gain from the knowledge that God is for us, isn't it? I am always amazed by how much strength I receive from those around me who serve as the hands and the mouthpiece of God. I have some experience with raising children, and I've had my bed invaded at night. It's been a while. Matthew no longer comes into our bed saying, I'm scared. But that picture is in my mind of a child who just wants the presence of a parent. Nothing changes. They're scared about something. There's a thunderstorm. And they come into the room and they crawl into the bed and they fall back asleep, because they're at peace. Because they understand that they can trust their parents. And so it is with our relationship with God. He becomes our strength. The times when I find myself most wandering from thanksgiving are the times when I have wandered in my relationship with God. When I've sort of hedged my bets, I'm busy. I'm not going to do my devotions today. I don't need to spend time in prayer today. And then there gets to be this point where we feel like we can't handle one more piece of bad news. We come back to our relationship with our Father. And there's something amazing that happens. And I've shared some things that have happened in our life and some transitions. And there have been times when I've pulled out what little hair I have left. And I come to God, I find out I can stand up and do what I'm called to do. Not on my strength, but on his strength. And so it is with us, with all of us. When we recognize that if we want to, We can cozy up to God the Father. He'll put his arms around us. He'll hold us tight. He'll give us strength. Habakkuk says, I rejoice. I take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. There are many times when you will walk through life and you'll think, I can't make it another day. And Jesus comes alongside and says, yeah, you can. Because I'll carry you. Because I'll be your strength. The only stabilizing force we have in this world is our God. The reason we can say that it's okay is because hope and faith isn't based on anything in this world to begin with. Our strength isn't merely from exercising and going down to the gym. That's a whole different kind of strength. You don't need that kind of strength to have the strength of the Spirit. Habakkuk's hope and faith are founded solely upon the Lord, the God of his salvation, and the one in whom he finds strength. There is a significant danger in seeking to find strength in something other than God. So when you come to Thanksgiving Day and maybe you've had a year that you wish you could skip, go back over and redo it and change a few little things in the hopes that it would be a better year, you review and say, what do I have to give thanks for? You have this to give thanks for. The Lord is your salvation and he is your strength. Walk close with God and you can face anything because you don't face anything alone. And finally, there's this little footnote at the end of Habakkuk, the words, to the choir master with stringed instruments. We can give thanks because the Lord is our salvation, our strength, and our song. Over the last dozen or so years, I've had the privilege of having three kids in my house play the upright bass. Honestly, I've gone to way too many orchestra concerts. Sixth grade orchestra, barely tolerable. High school honor orchestra, that's all right. All-state orchestra, even better. Grand Junction Symphony, awesome. And when they mix it with a choir, I think, you know, anybody can sing. Show me somebody who can play a stringed instrument. And every once in a while, every year, as a matter of fact, for the last dozen years, at one of the concerts that I've gone to, they have played Handel's Messiah. The choir's there, and the orchestra's playing. There's a moment when everybody stands to hear it, and you lose yourself in the glory of God. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Songs. Songs which have an ability to unite us, to encourage us, to lift our spirits, to remind us of the goodness of God. I so value our worship team. Our worship team works so hard to have a mixture of music, songs that are brand new, that are played on the radio, the contemporary radio stations, and songs which send us back decades and centuries in some cases, which have been a part of our hymnody through the years, and so affirm our faith. And allow us to move outside of the struggles of today. To refocus our thoughts. To liberate us from here and now and to embrace the hope of the future. I don't know if you sing in the shower. I don't really care to be in your house when you're showering. But it is a great place to sing. And if your spouse doesn't like you singing in the shower, invite them to come in the shower with you and sing along with you. Sing, okay? Sing Amazing Grace. a mighty fortress. Because he lives, celebrate Jesus, celebrate. And something will happen in the midst of all the crises of life. You will come again to your yet moment. Habakkuk had yet faith. After verse 17, the verse which lists the woes which faced the nation, woes which have impacted Habakkuk's life, we have that cool little word, yet. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet faith. Yet faith is a declaration that we are going to stick with God. It means that no matter what people think, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter what falls apart around us, we are going to stick with God. The God of our salvation, the God who is our strength, and we will sing His praises even if we are just making a joyful noise unto the Lord. It means that we may never be able to explain how a yellow sun in a blue sky grows green grass that is eaten by brown cows to produce white milk, but we'll drink the milk anyway and we'll believe that God is able to do it. It's Thanksgiving. It's the day coming up when the government says, you should give thanks and prepare for the Black Friday sales. But mostly it's Thanksgiving Day. And maybe your heart's not in it. And that's okay on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. You got 4 days. 4 days to rejoice in the God of your salvation. To recognize that no matter where things are in your life today, He is still the God of your salvation. 4 days for you to reflect upon the fact that He is your strength, that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. 4 days to sing in the shower about the amazing grace of God. We may not be able to explain the lingering injustice of the world. We may not be able to explain why bad things happen to good people, but we will give thanks because God is our salvation, because God is our strength, and He will always be our song. It's Thanksgiving. Embrace your yet faith. Yet we will rejoice. Amen. Our gracious Father, I thank you for your incredible love for us and for the privilege we have, no matter what is going on around us, of giving honor and praise and thanks to you. Thank you that you are the God of our salvation, that you will always be our strength. And thank you for giving us new songs to remind us of who you are. Amen.